Ruby Rose, Weishni, Blake Belladonna, and Yang Xiaolong. These are the four who make up Team Ruby. And now Cartoon Connoisseur Theater is proud to present a whole podcast dedicated to these four, and we'll have special guests. So, sit back and enjoy, and here's UberNerd 527.
All right, cartoon connoisseurs. Apparently, this is Reed Richards talking to you right now. So, yeah.
Did you end up being Reed?
Yes, that's right. Andrew called me Reed Richards. So, yeah. So, welcome to Cartoon Connoisseur Theater. This is UberNerd 527, and we've got another focus episode for you today. And I'm really excited about this one because I'm a huge, huge fan of what we're going to be talking about. Before we get into that, though, I want to introduce my co-host for Cartoon Connoisseur Theater, the man from the 52 Now podcast, Dave. Say hello to the people, Dave.
Hello to the people, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
It's good to be back. It's good to be loved, and it's good to be missed. And it's weird being a co-host because I'm usually the host of everything.
There you go.
Here on Zoe Kapowie.
Oh, yeah. So, we brought some friends with us today.
We did. People that hear my voice way too often.
Right.
That constantly a bug online.
Right.
One being my co-creator, my contributor for the Friday feature here on ZowieKapowie.com, and that would be Cheryl Eisenberg of Pink Justice Cosplay.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. I know that name. It sounds very familiar. Cheryl is actually the person who got me to watch. We're talking about Ruby today.
Uh-huh.
She's the person who got me to watch Ruby for the first time because she was doing a costume
mm-hmm.
for Ruby. Just finished it. Just premiered it, right?
Yep.
Yep. And our other guest, if I could talk about him briefly.
Just briefly.
Is a gentleman who's all over the internet. You would call him the Herbie.
This is Herbie.
of nerd blogs. The creator and main contributor, like you would say almost 100% contributor,
yeah,
to GeekRoutique.net. The new GeekRoutique.net.
Brand yeah. spanking new. All new, all different.
Dakota joining us from the great state, city, and borough of New York.
Woo!
Right? I got that all
actually,
right?
I'm actually just north of New York City.
What? I thought you lived in the city. It sounds cooler that you're from the city.
I'll just say I'm from the city. I go there all the time. So.
Yeah.
I thought you were like in the city. Like I pictured you like any Beastie Boys song, I pictured you walking down the streets too. Eating like White Castle. I was gonna say, I hope so. Anyways.
Oh yeah.
So, Josh.
Yes.
Uber nerd.
Yes.
What are we talking about?
We are talking about probably one of my favorite shows in a good while. We're talking about Ruby. Not R-U-B-Y, R-W-B-Y. And
I was misinformed.
What?
I thought we were talking about the Kaiser Chiefs song.
What do you mean Kaiser Chiefs song?
Ruby. This one. No?
No.
Oh.
Wait. Actually, that is kind of catchy. I'm not
it is lie. Really catchy.
It's really catchy.
I like how we looked online to see if there was a video of Ruby to the song.
We wanted to see if there was an AMV of Ruby, and now I want to do it now because
I think it'll be wildly successful.
It will be wildly successful.
It doesn't exist yet.
It doesn't exist yet. Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
One of the four listeners of this podcast is be like, "Oh, I gotta do it first."
There you go.
Shut up, Danny.
Oh, but anyway, so we're going to be talking about Ruby today. Before we do, I just want to go a little bit over some of the history, where it came from. Ruby, for those of you who don't know, is a web cartoon on a website called Rooster Teeth. Now, I actually followed Rooster Teeth.
Again.
Yeah, let's try that again. I followed Rooster Teeth back when they were doing Red versus Blue, and that was pretty much all they were
doing.
They're still doing it, but
there's still new episodes. That's ridiculous.
What really surprised me was like they started doing this video series called Red versus Blue, and they would take Halo and they would animate shorts using the multiplayer, and then Bungie who created the show instead of was like, no, you don't do that. That's our stuff. they went, hey, that's pretty funny. We're gonna make you official. So they made them official. And I thought that was really cool. And I remember getting, this is how long ago it was. I remember getting Halo 2, the special edition of Halo 2.
I remember Halo 2 very distinctly.
Right. Because
it was the only time I've ever get pulled over for a ticket was picking that up at night. And I probably could have got out of the ticket. It was a moving violation. This has nothing to do with what
happened. Cop
pulls
okay,
me
ahead.
Over and says, you know you have a taillight out. And I said, do I? And he's like, you didn't know that? I'm like, I'm not usually behind the car when I'm driving it. Yep, that was a $35 ticket, and he searched the vehicle. So that teaches you a lesson there.
There you go, kiddos. Your lesson for today.
Also, Halo 2 blew up my first Xbox.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I remember that. What were we talking about
again? Well, anyways.
Halo 2. So in Halo 2, you play as the Arbiter.
Right, no. In Halo 2, if you got the special edition, you got a DVD with it. And in the DVD, they actually had special features from Red versus Blue and actually a couple of the PSAs that they did back in the day, which that's how my introduction was to Red versus Blue. And I remember seeing like behind the scenes stuff of what they'd done, and they actually were recording from one of the creators' houses, and they had turned one of their closets into a sound booth, a very small sound booth.
Sounds like Andrew.
Yeah, it sounds like Andrew.
He's an innovator. He marches in the footprints of giants.
That's right. But, okay, then fast forward to, a few months ago, we were talking, we're doing our anime podcast, and Dave had mentioned to me that you, Cheryl, were doing a character called Neo. And I was like, Neo, who's that? And he's like, well, it's from the show called Ruby. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I think, didn't you talk about it too, Dakota, on our podcast?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it. It's one of those, because it's an American pseudo anime, so I threw it in there.
So let me ask this real fast. Cheryl, how did you first hear about the series and get into it?
You know, I don't exactly remember, like, how I first heard about the series. I think that one of my other friends mentioned that it was good, and I did see a lot of costuming from it, and I thought the costuming was really good. So, and I looked it up on Netflix, and I saw that it wasn't a long series, so I was like, oh, I can watch this in an afternoon. So that's really pretty much how I got into it, was doing costuming, working on costuming and watching it at the same time.
Did you instantly fall in love with the series and the characters?
I am a martial artist, as you know, and so I really enjoy things that have detailed fight scenes. So, yeah.
Like Arrow. Like the show Arrow.
Yeah, I really appreciated the fight scenes. I thought they were really cool, really well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about you, Dakota?
I actually didn't put piece together that the same creator did Dead Fantasy, because I had watched Dead Fantasy before, when it first came out on the internet, like a long time ago. So I didn't really piece that together until somebody recently mentioned that it was the same creator.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's how I was introduced to the series first. When I started talking about it, everyone told me how good the series was. And then everyone brings up YouTube and their phone and shows me Dead Fantasy. You want to talk about Dead Fantasy a little bit, Josh?
Go ahead.
You want me to talk about it?
Yeah, go ahead. I want you to talk about it.
So Dead Fantasy is a web series that was on YouTube that the creator...
Monty.
Did, and it's with characters from Final Fantasy and from Dead or Alive, and it's called Dead Fantasy. And there's not a lot of story that you can kind of piece together. They're almost like video game cutscenes, just very elaborate and very well thought out fight scenes between a lot of the main characters from both series. Mm-hmm. And I think that was what he used as almost an audition tape to get into working with Rooster Teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, and then he went on to do, I believe, season 10.
We can stop the podcast. You just watch him now.
Now, what about you, Dakota? How did you get into the show?
Let's see. Probably about 2 years ago, I bought a Crunchyroll subscription. I mentioned it last time I was on your podcast.
Yes.
It always comes back to Crunchyroll. And Crunchyroll is an anime streaming service, so they stream anime as it goes live in Japan. They simulcast it over here with the subbed version. But of course, Ruby is not a Japanese animation. It's American, but it has that pseudo anime feel, along with a lot of the characteristics that are prevalent in anime productions. So Crunchyroll decided that they were going to air Ruby alongside the popular animes of that season. And I saw it on my feed, and I decided to give a few episodes a shot. The first couple episodes, I didn't really get into it, but I could tell, like, it was one of those series that you kind of have to get to know the characters. You kind of have to feel it out for a little bit before you truly begin to enjoy it. And when the fight scenes started becoming more and more elaborate, that's when I realized, wow, this is really actually very creative, especially with, you know, all the weapons and techniques that the characters use. I thought it was all very unique, so I became a fan after that.
I was a little different. After Dave had talked about Ruby during our podcast and said he told me he was listening to it, I had another friend who has been trying to get me into the show for a while now. And she posted the trailers, because before the show came out, they put four trailers, each for the main characters, and basically showing their fighting styles, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the Weiss trailer, and I was immediately blown away by that trailer. Like, the fight scenes, everything was just amazing. So I went back and watched the other three. And then I was actually having a three-day weekend that I saw the trailer. And so I finished watching the other three trailers, and then I watched the first four episodes as I was grocery shopping, and I was like, well, I like this show now. And then me and my friends, we had a get together, and we just sat and basically marathoned the whole thing. And while I was marathoning it, I went ahead and just bought the Blu-rays off of Amazon, because I was like, yep, I love this show now.
I'm glad I'm the measuring stick to anime. I'm going to point that out. Because, like, people are like, well, Dave spent time to watch it. It must be somewhat good. Because I'm like the Mikey of the life commercials.
He likes it. He likes it.
It must be good. Because Dave hates everything in media whatsoever. It's like, anime, whatever.
Anime? Who needs it?
Give me my DC comics and my wrestling and leave me the hell alone. That's what everyone says. I'd be like, you watched an anime? It must be the greatest thing ever. That's how I heard everything you just said.
All right.
So I'm flattered. No, not really. Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about the show itself. So the show takes place in a fictional world called Remnant. There's four different kingdoms, and each kingdom has a different school that trains what they call hunters and huntresses. Because in this world, there are things called the Creatures of Grimm, which are basically, for the most part, they're mindless monsters that attack human beings. And basically, the hunters and huntresses go out and they basically fight these monsters. Now, Ruby stars, of course, Ruby Rose, who's the main character. She's 15 years old. She has probably my second favorite weapon, which is the big sniper rifle, scythe. What was that? Snipe. I don't know.
She wields the assistant of Kingpin from the Spider-Man anime
series. Yeah, sure. Okay. So, yeah, scythe.
There you go.
Thank you. Also turns to a shotgun as well. And then, of course, we start meeting the other characters. Her sister Yang, who has my favorite weapons, which are the shotgun gauntlets. Then we meet Weiss, who has a rapier that basically opens up like a magnum.
Like a gun.
Thank you. And she can load in what they call dust, which is like their ability to use special powers. And they can load it in there and she can attack with that. And then, of course, you have Blake. And Blake has kind of a triple threat weapon, if you will. She has the regular sword, and then the sword has a gun on the hilt, and then the gun can come open, and then a big band comes out of the back of the gun, and she can use it as like a whip or a grappling hook. So it's really kind of interesting just for the design alone.
Beautiful explanation.
Thank you.
You're like, it's a thing that does another thing that has another thing involved. Now, Dakota, you praise Crunchyroll. Was the ideas for the opening or beginning, was it completely original in a concept of weapons and character design and world building to you?
Completely original? No, nothing is completely original nowadays. You think of...
Spoken like a true cynic.
you think of Final Fantasy VIII. Where Squall has the blade that's also a gun.
The gun blade,
exactly. you think about Kingdom Hearts, who Sora has the Keyblade, which is a key, but it's also a blade. This kind of takes that same premise with the weapons, but goes a bit further and makes the usage of these weapons so much more cool. So much more, I don't know, unique. The character that I feel has the coolest item would be Sun from the very tail end of the first volume or the first season of Furubi. He has the nunchucks that turn into pistols while he's spinning them around. I thought that was very cool.
Bow staff, nunchucks, and pistols. Yep.
Yes.
Really cool weapon, actually. So
you were very intrigued by the weapons.
I was very intrigued by the weapons. I think me starting with the trailers. Really, I just saw the weapons and went, oh, wow, these things are awesome. I found out later, but you said Transformers.
Yeah,
turned them into Transformers.
They're guns
actually,
in disguise.
Monty, the creator.
You can never get on playing with them.
Right. Monty.
They're literally concealed weapons.
Right. Monty, the creator, was a big Transformers fan, actually.
That
so there you go.
It
makes complete sense.
As I learned from the great flood of Tampa Bay Comic Con, has the most practical weapon because you can run out in the rain with it and then also shoot people.
That's true.
Parasol. Is it an umbrella or is it a parasol?
Well, mine work fine in the rain. So,
so umbrella?
So umbrella?
Do parasols usually have holes in the, like, the...
It does, but mine also has, like, it has an umbrella top, so you can still use it as an umbrella.
Oh.
Is that your favorite weapon? Is the umbrella, the parasol, is it just a gun, shotgun, rifle?
It's a shotgun, it's a parasol.
I agree that Ruby has the best weapon, just because I like oversized, ridiculous weapons. And I like how that one, like, totally folds out and turns all crazy. So, I'm not much of a scythe person, but I think that is actually just the coolest thing. Plus, I saw a cosplayer actually made it to where it could all fold out and stuff, and that was the coolest thing ever.
Oh, I saw that video. That video is awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm not going to join in the favorite weapon, because my answer to everything, we haven't gotten to it yet,
right?
Is Nora.
Well, okay. let's.
I agree.
Yes, we all agree with this.
Nora is the greatest character, weapon, anything.
Let's run into favorite characters. So Nora's your favorite character.
Nora's by far the favorite. She's the standout.
Nora's my favorite too.
She sticks out like a sore thumb in that series because she's when she enters any scene, you know it's going to be over the top and ridiculous. And I really appreciate that of a character. When a character enters, you know automatically, no matter what they say or do, is going to be entertaining.
Yeah, yo, yeah.
And then when, not to skip ahead, when the food fight scene,
at
the beginning of the one episode, I'm like, this takes the cake for by far my favorite character, because it's so over the top and ridiculous. And she takes things that are funny very serious, and things that are very serious very humor, mm-hmm. adds humor to them. I like that contrast in that character mm-hmm. a lot. Like, she takes the funny very serious, but then when it's realistic, like when she flew into battle on her hammer, I'm like, this character's amazing. They wrote that character so.
She always has the best lines too, I think. Anytime she's on this.
The best line.
Yeah. I have to say my favorite Nora line has to be the one where she's talking to Ren about trying to get on the same team. And she's like, no, we could bribe the headmaster. No, wait, he has a school.
We'll break his legs.
We'll break his legs.
She's a big ball of energy in a very subtle show. So I did appreciate the entire time. And then when I saw the hammer turned into a grenade launcher, I'm like, this character is amazing. Thor can't do that.
That's right.
Thor really needs a grenade launcher.
That's true.
Avengers 3. If he doesn't have one, I'd be like disappointed all around.
I probably know what I'm going to get you for Christmas this year, and that's probably going to be the Boop shirt.
I really want the Boop shirt. I was talking to Cheryl. I'm like, I can't find any good male gender-bend Noras. Mm-hmm. And she's like, do you want to do a Nora costume? And I think my response was literally through text was ... maybe. I don't want to admit to it, but kind of, yeah. I want to be that guy.
Do it.
All right. Dakota, who's your favorite?
You know, I've been thinking about this for a long time. Having just rewatched season one, literally today, I have to agree that Nora is probably the standout character. And I don't mean to copy everyone else, but she just has such gravity in the series, especially, I think it was episode 7 or 8 or something like that. They're each saying their names, Yang, Ruby, and then Nora just pops up.
Nora! Yes. I guess I'm going to be I'm just going to be the other guy. My two favorite characters are Ruby and Yang. It's kind of a tie between the two.
You like the sisterhood of the traveling weapons. Guns.
Yeah. Well, I think when I usually watch a show, I usually gravitate toward the characters who are at least the way I see it, the characters I generally like connect with. I feel like they basically act like me or they have a personality like me. And I say Ruby as definitely, like, for better or for worse, Ruby has a very much my personality. But I also connect with Yang because she's the older sister. I'm the older brother. But I like both their dynamic. I love Yang's gauntlets. I think her shotgun gauntlets are awesome. Probably my favorite weapon in the show. I love that, you know, she is this, quote unquote party girl, but at the same time, she's kind of the, mother of the group, motherly of the group. I just like,
she turns out to be like everybody's big sister.
Right. Everyone's big sister.
Yeah. And she's not there to interfere, but she kind of gives the advice to lead others to make better choices.
Right. And I like that about her. And her messing with Ruby is very much how I mess with my brothers. So, I definitely love both those characters. The scene when they first get to Beacon and Ruby is just geeking out totally about all the different weapons she's seeing, and she turns a little chibi Ruby. And she's just like, oh my gosh, look at that, look at this, look at that. That's basically my brain anytime I go to like a comic book convention or a comic book store. I'm like, oh my gosh, look at that. Oh, look at that. Oh, if I had money, I'd buy that. Oh my gosh. You know, that's basically my brain just right there on the screen.
So right from the start of that show, you're like, this show, this stuff, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
This is
for better, for better or for worse. Yes.
That's a good point. That you take things from multiple characters. I think the strong suit or one of the many strong suits of Ruby is that each of its characters are in some way relatable. Mm-hmm. Nobody is just one person. They each have their character arc where they have to develop into who they will be as not only a hunter or a huntress, but also a team player. Mm-hmm. And I think when they do eventually get paired up into teams, that's when you actually see the character development come forth. And I love that. I think another great character would be Blake.
Yes.
I think I can't really relate to her at all personally, but I love how they developed her into this very dark, mysterious, gothic sort of character. And you realize this is just a mask that she puts on because she's oppressed by her race.
Right.
I thought that was a very interesting and new way to play off the racial inequality that we still see to this very day in our day and age in a cartoon setting. I thought that was well done.
Yeah, I agree. I think out of the four, she's probably the most fleshed out character. I think only second to Weiss. I think Ruby and Yang are still – we've learned a little bit about them, but we haven't learned everything about them yet. Yeah. So I think between Blake and Weiss, I think they're probably the two more fleshed out characters of the show. I do agree with you. I enjoy that. One of the other things I thought was very interesting when I started learning about the show was that each character in the show is – their design is based off of a fairy tale character. So Ruby Rose
would
be – yes. Ruby Rose would be Red Riding Hood. Yang is Goldilocks. Weiss is Snow White. And Blake is Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Cheryl, did you know that?
I did not know that, actually.
Now you do.
Now you do.
Aren't you glad on this podcast? You're learning things.
For example, there is a girl, Faunus. Her name is Velvet. She has rabbit ears. And she's based off of the Velveteen Rabbit. Or the headmaster of the school is named Professor Ozpin. And his assistant is Glenda Goodwitch.
So
let's put that together.
Yeah. So you're saying there's no clever writing whatsoever in the show?
No, they just
because they fight the Grimm, so right. They're literally keeping their creators away from them.
Right.
Okay.
That's exactly what.
No,
it
wait. Did I get that wrong? I think I got that right.
I have to say though, my favorite fairy tale connection is Penny, because Penny is supposed to be Pinocchio. And one of the coolest things I love about Penny is that, and instead of her nose growing when she lies, she hiccups when she lies. So in season two, when she's trying to hide Ruby, you can hear her hiccuping every time she says, "Oh, there was no girl with me." it's a little touch that I like about a lot of the characters. Now, I don't know if every character on the show is based off of some kind of. I know Jeanne d'Arc Joan of Arc.
I thought Joan of Arc was a real person. No.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyways.
So we can just take a reference from everywhere.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if there's like a character next season called Megan Mann. We know.
Well,
she shoots things out of her hand, and
but anyways, like one of their teachers, his name is Peter, and based off of Peter and the Wolf. So yeah, it's the little hidden things like that that I really really like about the show is that just like a lot of the really good shows nowadays, there are hidden things inside the show if you look, but they're not predominantly in. Gravity Falls, like Adventure Time. Like
good. Watch the first season of Gotham for me and tell me what I'm missing. Because I'd appreciate it. I would like to start enjoying that show if at all possible.
Okay.
I like Gotham.
Ah.
No one asked you.
I couldn't get past like episode 6 or 7.
Oh, we're gonna turn this into a Gotham podcast. Andrew will be so upset.
So let's move on to favorite fight scenes. Favorite fights.
We're like favorite scene, favorite fight. I think we're all gonna have the same one, are we not?
I don't know.
Does anything beat the food fight scene? Anyone got something?
Yeah, that was definitely.
I like the Neapolitan fight scene.
Oh yeah. The minute she steps up to Yang and just like Yang is just like towering her, you're like, oh, there's no way she's gonna win, and then she basically just overpowers Yang totally. Was really cool. And the fact that she does like the little flourishes, that kind of like teasing her the whole time, I thought that was kind of neat. Apparently, she's Neo, they also gave her some references to the Matrix as well.
No, really?
Yeah.
That's real?
Because she can like bend time a little bit and yeah, stuff like that.
Did you know that? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
My favorite fight scene is actually from episode 8. And I know it's episode 8, and I know the episode's name is Players and Pieces, because I've watched it probably 15 times. I every now and then I just go back and watch
Nerd.
To watch that fight scene. I think individually each character's strengths are heightened as a team. And seeing all 8 main characters, at least of the first season, go at it at these two grim beasts, I thought that was pretty spectacular.
Yeah,
season 2 then.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
But you'll like the ending of season 2 then.
Actually, I didn't like the ending of season 2.
Really? What? Oh, I love the ending.
Are you sure you watched the right ending? You sure you weren't watching like Man of Steel or something like that?
Oh,
or?
I don't like that one either.
Besides the food fight, which I still think is probably one of the best scenes they've done.
It's genius in the point. Let me talk a little bit on this, because it's like the one thing that really stands out in my head. Yeah, it's really unexpected. It's a lot of fun, and they still get to show off the characters' skills and the characters' personalities on one, and get to introduce some different elements with them. And once again, like I said, the thing I really like about Nora is it's a really goofy scene. She takes it very seriously, and it makes her even funnier.
Right.
Especially when she's
freaking serious, man.
Yeah, like when she's wielding the watermelon. And when they're launching soda cans at each other and they're like bursting, I'm like, this is that's the first time I was doing other stuff in the room while because I constantly doing something while I'm watching TV, and that made me stop and really watch that scene. It would just be like, this is really original. It's a lot of fun, and made me fall in love more with those characters, because you kind of see them kind of, you know, take. Yeah, sorry. Take off technical difficulties. Take off their serious, you know, faces and personas for a while, and you really get to know the characters, and you kind of remember, oh, these are girls in an academy or the school or something like that, so they can kind of let loose.
Yeah, and I think it's really great because it's the first episode. Basically, it's the first episode of season 2, and it was a great way to introduce the characters without having to talk about them, any kind of explanation of what they can do or how they can do it. It was just a good introduction without any dialogue. I have to say, though, my second favorite fight would be from the Yellow trailer, which was introducing Yang. I love that fight scene in the nightclub. I thought it was very well done, and it showed off Yang's abilities a lot. And it even amped up a little bit more, because I always suggest, if you're going to watch Ruby, make sure you watch the trailers first, because the trailers actually tie into the actual show. And in the trailer, in the Yellow trailer, she loses, one of the guys actually rips off a piece of her hair. She gets angry and then beats the snot out of him. But so when that happens again in season 1, the minute I saw her hair like float off in front of her, I was like, oh, crap, they're in trouble. You know, so it kind of amped it up a little bit more for me. So I really love the Yellow trailer and the fight scene, the choreography in that one as well. So
I think one of the most interesting things is the fact that they put so much emphasis on the fight scenes. I remember I was watching it with my wife, and she looks over at me and asks, "So do the graphics get better over time?" And that was right before a major fight scene occurred. And then, yeah, you could totally see that 90% of the time spent making this series was put into the incredible detail in the fight scenes. Everything is super meticulously done, and it's just so fun to watch.
Right, and just talking about the animation real quick, they use an animation program called Poser. And now, before, previous to this show, I had actually seen a lot of people on YouTube use Poser, and I was not impressed. But then I saw Weiss's trailer, and I was like, they could do that with this program? And then I found out later on...
They can do stuff with things and make it look nice?
Yeah, stuff with things. Thank you. I saw some behind-the-scenes footage, and they do a combination of traditional computer animation where they have the characters and they basically pose them and the computer will animate them to whatever they're doing. And they also do mocap as well. They do mocap. Mm-hmm. Especially a lot of the fight scenes are mocapped.
Cheryl, I think you need an audition for season 3.
Oh, you should totally do it.
What? What?
And I know paying for them, so.
Yeah, it'd be easy because you're almost the size they are on the screen already.
You're
so tiny.
Rooster Teeth, if you're listening, Cheryl's available. I would totally love to see how the mocap actually works. I mean, I've seen the videos, but it's not like actually being there and being there on the set of the actual thing doing it. And they actually got a lot of the actors and actresses to actually act out some of the scenes between some of the characters. Like, for instance, in the behind the scenes features that I saw on the Blu-ray, they showed one of the voice actresses who plays Cinder Fall and the voice actor who plays Roman Torchwick do the scene from scene 2 where she's kind of like telling him that, you know, what they're going to be doing basically for the rest of the season. Basically, it showed them act out that entire scene in mocap and then add on the animation to that.
There's very few. That's very old school Disney, because right. Disney used to do that. Used to cast people who were either physically built or had a disability. So the anime, and they did the same thing with like Lion King and Wonder Woman animations, where they study their subject. So it's bringing it into a whole other subject. That's good. But if Rooster Teeth is really approaching something like how they did Red vs. Blue, where they come from the video game universe and kind of use the techniques that make their full motion videos or anything like that wildly popular, make it seem very... Oh, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyone? Anyone?
No, I got nothing.
Wow. Fail.
Fail.
You have all failed this city. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. This is Zowie Kapowie. If they approach it coming in from certain angles and certain animations and what's in their wheelhouse and what they're comfortable doing, they've really done probably – they've really scaled up what you can see. Like, I'm guessing the animation like Poser, I'm guessing it's very much a hybrid system that they use FMVs for video games. Mm-hmm. It's not a traditional – like Cakewalk. Cakewalk is a traditional, like, they Futurama uses Cakewalk for the 3D effects. I want to say Reboot used Cakewalk. And those, the way that the characters move and the way that the textures mapping and all that other stuff is not, like you said, is completely different on a program like Poser versus using a traditional animation style.
Well, I know that they also use Maya as well to do a lot of the weapon transformations and stuff like that.
Everyone uses Maya.
So
I use Maya. I don't even know what Maya is, and I know I use it.
Oh, goodness. I want to talk a little bit about the soundtrack, too. I really love the soundtrack for the show. I think the soundtrack just is much, much better than even a lot of TV shows.
I think it needs that Kaiser Chiefs song. And Ruby Tuesday by the Rolling Stones needs to be on there too.
Rooster Teeth, if you're listening.
Pay the Kaiser Chiefs money for music royalty.
But I love the theme songs for both season one and two are really great. I really love a lot of this music. Actually, if you listen to some of the music, you can actually get more of the story of the characters too, because a lot of the lyrics are actually basically like the characters talking. Like, I highly suggest listening to Red Like Roses Part 2. And just listening to the lyrics of that song.
It seems like they put a lot of background and detail into a show that's only 5 hours long total.
I don't even think it's that.
They put a lot of, like, your little nuances. I know recently me and Cheryl had a Friday feature on Zowie Kapowie every Friday with a cosplayer. That was my cheap plug. That was my plug. It was Melvinopolis, and she was talking about she knew Monty. And who's the villain with the bolo hat?
Oh, that is Roman Torchwick.
He was didn't you say Neo was supposed to be a gender-bend cosplayer or costume design or character design of that character?
Oh, really? Huh.
Which I thought was interesting. She said that. I've taken her word for it, but I'm like, that's kind of interesting that they would even, you know, and they've been, Cheryl, coming from your, let's throw it this way. Coming from your standpoint, you said that, because you did, Jason did Adam, who's only in the series for a blink.
Right.
And you said that how I asked you straight up. I'm like, how do you do a character or how do you do a cosplay design based on a character that's really only in it for, you know, a couple of moments that you see them? And you said they've been very cosplay friendly.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they released turnarounds of all of the characters online so that you can see their entire outfit, which is super awesome for cosplayers. It's really nice.
Now, as a professional cosplayer, which you are, because you're like one of the top 10 in the world. Listen, let me inflate your ego a little bit. Go on. Go on. This is for the listeners. They don't know if that's true. Well, how important is it to see a character in a 300? Because I constantly see that where, like, a lot of animation companies or a lot of production houses don't show 360s of their characters. So,
well, if it's like a video game, you can, you know, you either go on the video game where you can take screenshots, and or if they you can't turn the camera around 360, you run into a wall until you get them at that angle where you can see their costume. Or like an anime or something, it's just like you try to find as many reference pictures online. It's lots of research and digging, and with this, they made it very easy. And so, another thing that they did for cosplayers that I read online was that Monty was very adamant about putting pouches on many of the characters so that cosplayers would actually have a place to hold their stuff.
Oh, cool.
That's really cool. Yeah,
so which was super awesome because that means we can keep our phone and our money in there and we don't have to worry about putting our bag down and then it go missing. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I was like, wow, I was blown away by that when I heard that. I was like, wow, that's really awesome.
It just sounds like he's trying to put Jason out of business.
Well, I talking more about the fan stuff that Rooster Teeth does, and you know, we're not getting paid by Rooster Teeth to talk about this.
Let's be honest, we're not being paid by anybody.
I know, we're not being paid by anybody right now.
Not even Crunchyroll.
I know, right?
Oh, like, Dakota might be getting some kickbacks. I get $3 every time I say Crunchyroll.
By the
Crunchyroll,
way,
Crunchyroll.
Little aside, by the way, after our anime podcast, I did go and get a Crunchyroll thing. So thank you for that. Yeah, it was fun. I've been watching.
I did not.
Anyway, so moving on. But no, the fan connection with Rooster Teeth has been something that that's one of the things I really love about Rooster Teeth is they take their fans in consideration. When they were designing Velvet's battle gear for season two, they actually had the fans design her battle gear, which was really cool. And then, Also, the voice of Velvet herself is actually a fan of Rooster Teeth, and she...
It's not like a professional voice actor. No. It's not Tara Manning being okay.
No, they...
I'm available. I'll do a voice for you.
I didn't know exactly the story, but she was a big fan of Rooster Teeth, and they just pulled her off to the side and said, you want to voice a character? And she's like, yeah. So I think that's really, really cool that they've done that. And
that doesn't happen anywhere at any time for nothing.
It doesn't. But the biggest thing that I love about Rooster Teeth is the fact that they had a fan create a video game for Ruby, and they found out about it. Now, just like with what happened with them with Bungie, they found out about it and said, "Hey, that video game's awesome. Why don't you develop for us? Why don't you develop it for us and make it legit?" And so now we're going to get a video game. We're going to get an official Ruby video game, which is really ironic if you think about Rooster Teeth's whole history. So now they're coming full circle and actually doing video games. So I'm very excited about the game. I've heard a lot about it. I know it's going to be co-op. So you'll be able to play the main
game. That means two people can play at once.
Yes, that means two people can play at once. Thank you. Make sure. So it's very exciting to see that. Now, speaking of future developments, right after Tampa Bay, Rooster Teeth had their annual comic book convention, RTX. You guys heard about that?
Yes.
Great.
they're very enthused. Yes,
we heard about it.
Yes.
But anyway,
that was a thing.
Yeah.
It was words in the air. My ears have caught it.
So I was very I was really excited to hear season 3 announcements. Now they haven't announced a date yet, although I've heard usually it comes out in October. However, they did make some announcements for season 3, and I want to go over them real quick. With you guys, see what you guys think. So they're introducing two characters. I don't want to call them new because they were mentioned in the show previously, but they've never actually been shown. So the first character is Winter Schnee, who is Weiss's sister, she's going to be. They actually showed design concepts for her. And so she'll be in season 3. She's going to be voiced by...
Tara Manning.
No. And a voice actress named Elizabeth Maxwell, who apparently is known for Ghost in the Shell Arise. Now, I've never seen the show before, so I don't know anything about the voice actress. And I looked on her IMDb, and I didn't see any shows that she was on.
She is that good.
But she must be new or something. Have you heard of her, Dakota?
No.
All right. Well, anyway, she's going to be Weiss Schnee. Now, the next one...
She wasn't on Doctor Who at any time.
No, she wasn't on Doctor Who at any time.
She wasn't an assistant or a
companion.
Crying angel or...
Weeping angel.
Whatever. Whatever.
Boo.
Hey.
All right.
It hurts a lot more when it's not the soundboard.
The next character I'm really interested in is Uncle Crow, who has only been talked about a couple of times in the show, and we just saw the silhouette of him in season 2. He's actually going to appear in it, and he's going to be voiced by Vic Mignogna.
Really?
Yes, he is.
Who is that?
You don't know is.
No.
No. Do you know who
he is? But you seem very excited about it.
No, I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't follow voice actors at all.
I do. But that's okay. Well, anyways, he voiced Edward in Full Metal Alchemist as well as like pretty much every single anime dub he's pretty much in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Actually, I have heard.
Yeah, so he's a really good voice actor. I've met him. He's very, very nice. He actually was one of the very few... people who didn't charge to get his autograph or get a picture with him. So that was pretty cool.
Really? With his such fame as you having to tell us who were doing a podcast about him?
That's fine. Anyways, I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited two parts because I'm really excited to see Uncle Crow. I want to see about him. I saw his design. It looks really cool. And also I love this voice actor. Now, last thing that they talked about, was Ren, was voiced by Monty Ohms, and he passed away, beginning of this year?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. He passed away about the beginning of this year.
Now, let me ask something real fast.
Okay.
Now, because I feel like I'm kind of out of the loop.
Okay.
When I first talked to these two individuals who are being so kind to giving us their time tonight, right. Both Dakota and Cheryl, when they introduced me to the series and what the creator did, uh-huh. they both knew the backstory about the unfortunate circumstances which Monty had passed away.
Right.
Was this something that was, like, how did you guys hear about this? Because you really don't hear that much about that background in it. Were you guys following it, or did you hear it through other people?
Oh, man, it was all over Facebook. It blew up. Like, I hadn't even watched the series. I haven't even watched Ruby yet, and I saw, like, fan art, and I saw all over Tumblr. There was just, everybody was, like, mourning this guy, and I was like, I didn't even know what the show was, really. I think, actually, that's kind of what got me into watching it, was because I saw this, like, beautiful fan art, and it was heartbreaking, and all these people were, and I also know a couple of people that actually kind of work with Rooster Teeth, and they were all posting stuff mourning his loss and everything. And a lot of the cosplay community was like really upset at his passing. So I heard it was all over Facebook.
Yeah,
Dakota.
For me, it was. I don't own a Facebook, but I do have a Twitter account that I'm on fairly often, as well as a Newsify account, which gives me all the news feed that I will ever need. And Monty's name came up a few times. I got to see him at a panel shortly before he passed away. It was right at the tail end of season two, where he actually teased the penultimate episode. And that was pretty cool. And he answered a few questions, a few hints at what we could see, what we have already seen from the series that I could elaborate further in the podcast. But personally, I felt extremely bad for the guy, because he was just getting, it was a normal surgery that he had a bad, I think it was a bad penicillin reaction to, and he went into cardiac arrest and passed away shortly afterward. I remember thinking, oh man, I feel really terrible for this guy. And what hit me most was the thought that, so sadly, this is what I thought, but, oh man, I don't think we're going to get a Ruby season 3, because he was the project. This was his baby. So, and I kind of felt that was fitting in a way, that it ended with him. But I'm happy to hear that it's moving forward. I'm excited for what they have planned for season 3. But
I was always so surprised about a fan base, especially something that I didn't know about from the start or anything like that, and hearing several years after the fact. When a fan base immediately, because everyone I talked about would be like, oh, the creator passed away, the creator passed away. I'm like, wow, people got very attached to this product. You know, it was kind of like we've just, I can't think of the gentleman's name who just died from Nintendo.
Iwata.
How important that was, and you know how the fans come out and kind of respect that figure and that head and what they did for the culture that we enjoy so much in the nerd culture. It was really cool to see kind of that outpouring that still in everyone's psyche and conscious, that when you bring up a show like Ruby, that they have that attachment, that they still show respect and love for the creator of the show.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and I'm glad that Ren, who was voiced by Monty, is going to continue, and it's going to be voiced by his brother. So So that'll be really cool. So I didn't know what they were going to do with Ren, anyways, but I'm glad that he's going to continue in the show. So we saw the teaser poster for season 3. It looks like.
Do we have a date for season 3?
We don't have a date yet.
What the hell?
I don't know, but from what I heard, traditionally it premieres in October. So hopefully we'll be hearing some stuff soon.
Now, how do they premiere it? Knowing that's a, do they put it on their website? Do you have to pay for it? Is it on Crunchyroll?
Ah,
Crunchyroll, Crunchyroll.
As far as I,
that's nine more dollars there, Dakota.
There you go. As far as I am aware, and this is because I've watched a lot of web shows previously. What no. they do, a lot of web shows,
a lot of web shows.
Oh, we don't want all. What they do is they actually premiere it on their site first. And what they do is they do last season they did 12-minute episodes. The first season they did, 7-minute, Dakota? It was like 7 minutes, right?
Oh, that was one of my main complaints about the first season. It was just so inconsistent with its timing. Some episodes were 4 minutes long, some episodes were 15 minutes long, and it didn't seem like they were going for any thematic time period to elaborate a story into, and that was one of my major gripes with the series. But I think they did make it a 12-minute time period in the second season, which worked a little better.
Yeah, and
I like the word thematic.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever used that on a podcast before. I'm kind of upset.
You're jealous now.
I am. I'm going to use that.
Jealous.
I'm going to use that on every podcast this week.
As a reviewer, of literature, I'm required.
He's required by law.
I want to welcome this cosplayer. You're going to hear me on Friday Future being like, what thematic ideas do you have about your cosplay? They're going to be like, what the hell is this guy talking about, Cheryl?
Thematic.
Thematic? Let me grab a dictionary. I'll get right back to you on that one, buddy.
Oh, boy. Well, anyways, so the teaser poster, they showed it at RTX. Looks like it's going to be taking place during the tournament, which they've been talking about since season one. So I'm very excited about that. I have not seen anything else prior to RTX. I didn't hear of any other. Like, I was really hoping they give a date for season three and a date for the video game.
Because what are you looking forward to in the series? Let's just cut to that.
I really would like to know. I'm really excited to see Uncle Crow. I'm really kind of excited to maybe see a little bit more about Ruby, about Yang, about their backstory a little bit more. Because we, like I said earlier, we only know very little of their backstory. We don't know a whole bunch. I am very excited to see what they do with Jean and my favorite design character in the show, which is Pura. I think her design is just wonderful, and I love seeing anytime she comes on screen. I'm like, yes, this character's awesome. I can't wait to see what they do with Jean and Pura's relationship in season three, if they do anything.
Cheryl, what are you hoping for the future of this franchise? Are you hoping for more characters, more seasons, merchandise, video games?
There's nothing that I'm really hoping for, per se. I mean, I hope that the fight scenes get more detailed, and I really like that they use different fighting styles. I really hope for lots more fighting, and I'm kind of curious to see if they'll actually give Neapolitan any lines or if they're going to keep her a silent character.
Well, apparently the reason why she was silent in season two was because they were working on a contract for her voice actress. So they didn't have it done, so that's why she's silent.
I think she works better silent. I think they get.
I kind of like it.
There's a mystique to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
She just shows up in the scene. She doesn't say anything. She's just like, I'm going to kick your ass.
She doesn't say, she's just like, I got a parasol.
She doesn't say anything.
She's like, I can kick your ass, and if it rains at a con, I'm safe. I'm getting Starbucks dry and get my frappuccino.
Golden ginger ale for me.
Yeah. Dakota, what are you hoping for?
Well, I really love world building as a concept and an idea, and I think that Ruby does it really well, where it takes physics from our world and elements of fantasy and science fiction and martial arts from other genres and mashes it together. And I want to learn more about the world that they have built with Remnant. I love the idea that the moon is shattered in the sky. I like how there's such a clear difference between the hunters and the huntresses, and the Creatures of Grimm. I want to know what the Creatures of Grimm are. And actually, Monty kind of hinted that we might already know what they are. He in the first season, when Pyrrha is teaching Jean about his aura, she mentions that the Creatures of Grimm do not have this, that they are soulless. And in an interview, or when Monty was being asked questions at the panel at New York Comic Con last year, he mentioned that, or he was asked, will we ever see a Creature of Grimm / human hybrid? And he goes, well, how do you know you haven't already seen that?
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun. Dramatic music.
So I'm hoping to get more out of that front. I think that would be a really cool investment of their time and energy.
Yeah, I agree.
My hope for any franchise like this that has a wild fan following, and when they continue a series like this after the creator and one of the voices and someone that was 100% dedicated to a series like this, when they decide to continue a series like this, or of this nature, and under the circumstances, I think it's great they're doing season 3 because the fans want it. I'm hoping that I like the universe. I want the answers to the questions they've already presented us. I would hate to see a show like this get to a point where they're on season 7 and no one cares. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I always want to see, like, an end. They began very beautifully and very elegantly and very subtle in a way where they didn't give you everyone's backstories. Like, I always go back and reference the show Lost. It's like, after they did everyone's backstory, it's like you have 3 seasons being like, all right, now what? Be like, now we tell about the future. Now, I don't kind of want that from this show. I kind of want them to have a beginning and have a middle and have an end. If they have a season 3 and a season 4, season 5, that's great. As long as the story's there to build.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're trying to build a landscape off somebody's original idea. Unless Monty presented a ton of information, a ton of background.
He did.
Well, good for him. I'm hoping – that's my hope for any series like this, that the fans don't get burned out on it so fast. I've been to several cons this year. I've seen a lot of people dedicate a lot of time to costumes and merchandise and fan art and all this other stuff that to support this very tiny franchise compared to what we see other things of. I want to see that continue and not them be like, oh, Rooster Teeth's like, we see money in the sky and we're going to, you know, milk this golden cow till it's dry and then throw it all away. You know, that's always my fear. Mm-hmm. As much as I love the Red vs. Blue series, I was over it in like 2 years. I tried to rewatch the ones that I saw in college and I'm just like, man, they're still making this thing. It's like,
they're on season 13 now, right?
13? That's
14.
That's a long time.
Yeah. And they're still going.
I kind of don't want that for the series. Even like doing a platformer 3D video game makes me nervous because I'm like, oh, such a.
Apparently, it's supposed to be playing like Devil May Cry. Actually,
I hope, but even that, like, I get worried about games like that because it kind of taints that beauty of how simple and clean a series like this can be. Where it's like, we don't tell these gigantic stories. We tell these nice, subtle stories and kind of get on with your day. That's my biggest hope for that series and any other series that we talk about on this podcast.
Definitely.
But with that being said, I do hope they continue the series and it's still a huge, huge fan favorite and they don't do anything to kind of to tarnish that reputation.
Other thing I wanted to say, too, is that just, I think, Friday? They announced that they're doing a Japanese dub of Ruby.
Now, that's weird. That kind of throws a wrench in everything we know.
Apparently, Japan has been...
Does it not? Like, we've complained for years about being like, oh, we get these terrible American dubs. And now the Japanese would be like, what the hell is this?
They saw it. Apparently, they've been clamoring for it. And so they partnered with Warner Brothers of Japan, and they're going
to Funimation.
No,
Funimation's like, we're bringing it back,
and they're dubbing the show in Japanese. So I think that's very ironic of that.
They're not happy about it either. They're like, man, they made a better anime than us.
So, anyways, what were you going to say, Shiro?
Oh, I was just laughing.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm hilarious.
That's right.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but then I was thinking Avatar is a worthy anime series as well.
It's true. It's true.
And Legend of Korra. I've never watched either one of those.
Gosh.
You guys make it sound like I'm from, like, the Stone Age. Like, I sit around and, like, beat rocks together all day. I do things. I have
rocks
things
is
to
doing
do.
Things.
It is, but not constructive. Anyways. So we've gotten to that time, the end of the podcast, Josh. So you know what it's time for.
What is it time for?
Cheap plugs.
It is time for plugs. That is correct, sir.
Hey, well, this is our podcast. Is we love correct, talking about sir. The stuff that you don't care about. This is the time of the podcast that the only person listening to is the gentleman Dakota. So Dakota, we'll have you start off.
Hey, I'm coming from Crunchyroll.
No, you're not.
Where is it? Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll.
Is he getting paid $10 every time he says Crunchyroll? Because I want in on this action. Crunchyroll.
I want 10%. Now.
You can find me at geekcritique.net. That's GEEKRITIQUE.net.
Awesome. Great spelling. Fantastic. Very happy. Cheryl, want me to do your plugs, or you got your own?
Well, I guess I got my own. You can reach me at Pink Justice Cosplay at Facebook, or on Instagram, or on Twitter. I don't post much on Twitter, though, as David always makes fun of me for.
Yeah. You would also catch Cheryl, it once, like I said, beginning of the podcast, is my co-host on Friday Feature. If you want to catch up with local talents in cosplay and cosplay art, I also do the 52 Now, which is the flagship of here on ZowieKavari.com with my good friend Good Samaritan 83 on Twitter. Andrew, look at I even got Andrew a plug in. But if you want to follow me online, I'm at Podcast Pasco. On Instagram, at podcasts_Pasco, on Twitter, and then always on Zowie Kapowie on Facebook. And Josh.
Well, actually, I have Frederick. He's going to be telling all my... What was that look you just said when I said Frederick? What was that look?
That would be like, oh, groan.
Really? What?
The 10-minute outro
it's been,
to Cartoon Connoisseur.
It's been a week... Get over it.
I know.
You both,
anyways.
You both just you had a fight. Get
we
over
did.
It.
I won. So anyways, I will take the time to thank both Dakota and Cheryl for joining us tonight for this this adventure in podcasting, which is the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater.
Yes. Problem. Thank you guys so very much for joining us. I really, really enjoyed both of your inputs on this, and I probably could talk more about it. If I wanted to, but thank you guys so very much.
No problem, guys.
All right. Well, guys, there's only one thing left to say. I can say it eventually. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Yes, so thank you, UberNerd527. If you enjoyed this jolly banter and just willy-nilly things that just happened, then please go to iTunes and give us a review. 5 stars or more would be wonderful. Whatever or however you do that, I am sure you can. Anyways, if you like this silliness, then please go to the Arcade Archives website, arcadearchives.wordpress.com, and see all the jolly, wonderful, crazy people that are on there as well. You can also follow us at facebook.com/TalesFromTheGameGrid. Or follow us on Twitter at TalesFTGameGrid. Thank you so ever so much for joining us here on the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater podcast. And now I am going to eat a large meal. Good night.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all. Awesome.